I love you.
I hope you weren't expecting an I love you return.
I don't know. I know it's an asymmetrical relationship. There's our roll in. Welcome back to What's All That About? A podcast where two cheeky chaps chat candidly about stuff. My name is Kelso, one of the aforementioned cheeky chaps. And with me, as always, is my dear longtime pal, Christmas Ho and co-host Cohen. Hello, Cohen.
Welcome, dear listener, and a huge, huge welcome to you, Kelso. Always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Well, you have this habit of making me feel welcome. Can you believe that after all these episodes?
It has become quite a habit.
Yes. So I feel so welcome and comfortable in your presence that we've been recording a few episodes now. When we do a bit of music on the show, the ad hoc music which you provide, I feel so comfortable and welcome, and I'm going to offer you a few notes. You ready?
All right.
La! That's an E. And I thought I might try a high C. Probably not necessary.
Go on.
Nee. Is that close?
I think that was the E again.
Well, that's my problem. I never undertook any sort of... I did do musical class at school, but I've never understood any differences in C's, B's and E's. What does even that even mean? What's your experience? What's all that about?
Well, I can just imagine you in music class at the end of the year just getting one of those big rubber stamps that say, atonal. Beyond help. I hope he's good at science. Stuff like that.
Not to join any barber quartet.
But just to answer your question, did you just ask me what music is? Am I going to have to start from the start?
It was more specific.
Okay, right.
No, it's more specific. What's your experience in dealing with atonal people?
Well,
what's all that about?
We have mentioned in a previous podcast of how we both started a musical together in high school, and I did stand by you to be prompted for the lyrics, but the cost of that was, sometimes being put off by the one note delivery that you were known for.
Emitting from my throat. Have you been roped into a situation where you had to play the guitar for someone to sing at like a wedding or a funeral, which turned out to be a bad idea?
Oh, all the time. I do have a strict policy when I do gigs that no one's allowed to get up and sing a song. That's just something I do.
Right.
Unless I know you. If I know you, fine. But if I don't know you, I've just had way... Let's just say I've only had bad experiences when I've let a random person up on stage.
All right. What's the worst experience?
There's one guy early on.
Is a dear listener asked?
I'm glad you asked. It was early on. This is actually what formed my previously stated policy of not. This guy, he wanted.
Did you go straight home, put a blank piece of paper in the typewriter, and write wedding policies?
Yeah, by Kerwin. Yeah. No, it was this sort of a young, good-looking guy, had this shock of blonde hair, and he was sitting with a bunch of, good-looking girls, and he wanted to get up and sing Wonderwall. I thought, that's a fairly easy song to sing, I guess, So I start playing it.
He's good-looking. He's able to do it.
Yeah, and about, 30 seconds in, after about 2 seconds in, I realized, this guy's awful. This was a bad idea, but then about 30 seconds in, I realized that he was doing it deliberately. He'd obviously decided to, told his friends, I'm going to get up and sing a song. I'm going to do it so bad that, it's going
right.
to fuck up my shit. So, yeah.
That'll be hilarious for more than 5 seconds.
I wish I could find that guy and tell him that he started a long-standing policy. And congratulate him, because it's probably like got me out of a lot of trouble. I do admit, I do have a soft spot for the cute girl that wants to get up and sing a song, you know. And I'll go, oh, all right, get up here, you little fox, you know. And and they're awful. They're always awful. And they look at me like I'm doing something wrong, you know. No, it's you, honey. It's you. Yeah.
I've had that look in the past, outside of the wedding singer environment.
right.
Disapproving, nonetheless.
Yeah. Actually, that is a place where people do demand to get up to sing more than any other place is the wedding. It's a member of the bridal party. Once the bride herself, she's from the Philippines, and they're kind of known for their musical prowess. I'm not sure if you knew that, Kelso, but the Filipinos.
It rings a bell for some reason.
Yeah, so they're, you know, as a country, just very musical, and, you know, every time I, you know, meet a Filipino person, more often than not, they're a good musician or singer. So this bride demanded to get up and sing a song. She had a backing tape, so we didn't have to get involved, which is, you know, fine, you know.
Did she bring her... She bought it herself then, that's good.
Yes. Good prep. So in the middle of her wedding, so the wedding was all about her, so obviously great, you know. But I always thought a wedding was the one girl's day where they're the princess and everything's perfect, you know. So I would have thought that maybe getting up and singing in front of all your family and friends is a pretty big risk. But anyway, so she gets up there and she's in a, you know, big flowing like... wedding dress. She looked. Her wedding dress is that kind. You know how sometimes your grandma used to knit that little thing that would go over a toilet roll. Is that an Australian thing?
I think it might be, but yeah.
Yeah. If for the dealers that did not grow up in rural Australia, sometimes your grandma would crochet some kind of a bonnet, I guess, for a toilet paper roll, just to, you know, pretty.
Yeah, and instead of like just a toilet roll sitting on top of your. System waiting to be used, and we wrapped in some lovely colourful wool.
Yes.
But what then the next step was, and my grandmother did this, they got a little doll who was tall enough that her waist, if you put her into the hole of the toilet paper.
Oh, like a Barbie?
Like a little Barbie doll.
Right.
Although probably pre-Barbie this tradition would have started.
Right.
So the height of the toilet paper came up to the waist of the doll, and then they would... crochet a dress for the doll, right?
Yeah.
And then the little doll would be placed inside of the toilet roll with the dress on top of her, which covered her top half, and then flounced out to form a Victorian ball gown.
You know,
atop your loo.
You know, Kelso, sometimes we cover the worst of humanity on this show, but I think this is an example of some of the best of humanity.
Exactly.
When we turn something as unsightly as a toilet paper roll. And turn it into something wonderful and beautiful as a ballerina dancing atop the toilet cistern.
Exactly.
Like and Cinderella. Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to go around and go and stand as a six-year-old boy in your grandmother's toilet and try to do a pee while staring at this crazy doll looking at you, it's a tough ask.
Yeah, my grandparents, this is my mother's parents, they were a kind of blue-collar, you know. So they had two toilets, one that my grandmother had, you know, all that stuff, you know. There was a calendar with kittens on the back door,
right.
That kind of thing. It was immaculate, really good. You could have literally eaten off the floor there.
Yeah.
I didn't try, but, you know, you could have, I'm sure. Anyway, you go to Pop's toilet out the back near the shed, and it was pretty gross. There was that brown kind of scale on the bottom of the toilet, you know,
mold that
you only see in a man's toilet, and on the back was a topless calendar.
Oh, back of the net.
Yeah, but he was a butcher, so they're all wearing butcher's aprons, which
which is amusing.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I felt about that, but you know, brandishing a cleaver, you know.
You've grown up admiring these really manly men since age of five. With their big meat cleavers and blood spurting, and they're all wearing these lovely blue aprons. So from the ages of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you've been inundated with this image, only to, at the age of 14, look at a dirty calendar involving that very apron. I can see the confusion.
Yeah, well, to this day, I can't climax unless my girlfriend's wearing that butcher's apron.
That makes sense.
That's how I get to my special place.
Which is in the cold room, out the back.
Yeah, hanging
with
a hook.
Sharpen the knives.
Yeah.
Have you had to fight off any collaborations then, like with people who couldn't sing quite as good as they thought they could sing?
All the time. My professional career is littered with fending off people. I'm like the semi-attractive girl in a bar by herself. When it comes to music, everyone's like, "Yeah, this guy's good. I'm gonna play with him." I get that a lot.
Right.
People asking.
So, like, we're talking once a week, twice a week, or once a month.
Oh well, I guess maybe that frequent. But you know, a few times a year—that's a lot. You know, a few times a year. How many times a year do you snuff out someone's dreams?
I just concentrate snuffing out my own, so it's a different story.
I just want to turn up and sing songs. Suddenly, I'm a Simon Cowell telling you that you know, you're not going to the finals. You know.
Boo!
They love to hate me.
We see their family off stage really upset.
Yeah.
Which actually has happened sometimes.
Oh, no, I had one young singer, female, that was sort of one of my proteges, you know, who out of nowhere decided that we were going to live together and travel around the country doing gigs in a caravan together.
Wow.
I actually said this. I was pretty drunk when she told me this, and so was she when she said it, to be fair. And when she told me this, I said, "I hope you're going to kiss me first."
Wow.
It didn't work.
Yeah. That sounds like a great script.
Because I was thinking we were going to like live as a couple in sin in a caravan. But I think she really did see it as a tour bus, and it was a professional arrangement, and, you know.
Oh, you're going to be like the Homer to her country singer in The Simpsons.
Lurleen. Yeah.
Lurleen.
Yeah, she was Lurleen.
Can you recall that song?
Oh, I can't. I wish I could. That was a fantastic episode.
I finally hit me a Homer. Come on.
Oh, I can't compete with your Simpsons memory. you're a sort of savant level of Simpsons quote recall.
Well, I basically just remembered the title of the song. I probably couldn't tell.
Still, that's
pretty
impressive. You know, I'd get you to sing it, but, you know.
The thing is, I think in that episode she actually had two songs, because she had a song she came to prominence with and then a song she wrote once she'd fallen in love with Homer.
Well, I think maybe I'll download the album on iTunes. I'll review it for you.
Sweet.
Lurleen.
Next week on What's All That About? Have you been called on, or at an unexpected time, say at a wedding or a pub or a gig, to sing a song? Like some people you like, you know, being a musician, blah, blah, blah. Does that happen that way?
As in, do people ask me for requests?
No, I mean, like, have you ever been, like, at someone's wedding and all of a sudden, I want to call on Kerwin to get up here and sing us a song?
I kind of sometimes know. I'm actually going to dob myself in here. People don't usually call on me to get up and sing. I usually drunkenly impose myself on people, breaking my own policy, mind you.
Here comes that Kerwin again.
Hey, but at least I can deliver, I guess. That's the difference between me and that guy that sang Wonderwall. I'm, you know, I was actually trying to, you know, help out.
You guys once snuck me into a university ball that your band was playing back in our hometown.
Yeah, I remember that.
You snuck me in under the pretense of me being the roadie.
Right, yeah.
Right. So I came in with you guys and helped you unpack the cars with all the equipment.
Yeah, we could have really done with you as a full-time roadie, just so you know.
I only did it in order to get into balls to talk to good-looking lasses. Anyway, so then... So I hang around for ages, help you guys pack the whole stuff in, and I'm, as we said, I'm atonal, know nothing about music, never done anything like this before. But to play along with the part, I had to, like, you know, turn up with the band, you know, a couple of hours later. We must have gone to a local pub or something. But I was dressed up nicely, and I was standing up the back being the roadie and the sound guy, right? And I was like, right, sweet, we've passed it. I've got into the ball, now I can just mingle. So a couple of people came up that I knew, and I turned to a few girls and whatnot, and all of a sudden there's this big tap on my shoulder. I turn around, and it's one of your other friends who was in another band who just happened to be attending that ball. And he said, "Yeah, I think one of the guys on the stage wants your attention." And the lead singer of the band had taken for granted that I actually was going to be the sound engineer and road guy. And he was pointing to me at the back of the room, pointing at his guitar and, like, indicating whether I should turn the volume up or down. I've never been more perplexed in my whole life. I'm like, no.
Did you do that?
Go ahead and explain the situation to you. Do not listen. I can't give you an opinion.
Did you do the medley of head nod, head shake, arms in the air, like, I don't... floundering?
Yeah, I had a coin in my pocket. I was randomly turning over.
So were the other people buying this ruse? I mean, I don't recall it as much as you might.
Apparently so.
Really? Because I mean, I would, if I was there, I would immediately have spotted you as a fae. Because if you were a roadie... You would have been wearing a black T-shirt, three-quarter length black shorts, and Doc Martens.
Yeah.
Hair in a ponytail, yeah. Probably, if you could. Yeah. Maybe a shirt that says "Rebel Without Applause."
It's quite possible. I think one was in the wash. But anyway, we fooled him that night.
Did you sneaking into the Law Society ball, was it worth it?
I'm here to inform you and the dear listener that indeed it did not.
Objection, Your Honor. Case closed.
So I took the bus home.
Right, okay. Oh, that's sad.
Well, actually, the only thing I can remember from that night is that story we just described. So,
well, the song on the bus playing was that I fought the law and the law won.
That was very much the case. Kerwin, if that is your real name. Things we can't explain. What's all that about?
I can't explain it. I'm trying,
next topic.
I think we covered everything there.
Here's two things I can't explain, okay. Before we go on with the topic. We've got a couple of comments. Some from people out there in the internet.
Really?
I want to give a shout out on YouTube to F-I-S-H. That's right, Kerwin. That spells...
F-I... Fush.
Fush.
Fush, right.
If we were Kiwis.
If we were from New Zealand, yes. Yeah.
So he gave us a comment on YouTube. So thank you, Mr. or Mrs. Fish.
Fush.
Or Ms. Fish.
Ms. Fish, yeah. Dr. Fish.
Dr. Fish.
Monsignor Fish.
I think he made the mistake of making a post on Reddit asking for podcasts to listen to. So just ours. And he was kind enough to say that he listened to a whole bunch and he thought ours was the best. He said it was bloody hilarious.
All right. Okay. Well, so what can't you explain? Or am I getting ahead of myself again?
I can't explain how a fish can speak. Right. Well, actually, more pertinently, type on a keyboard.
Well, you got flippers, fins, or whatever, you know.
I just saw Justice League, and that Aquaman could do some remarkable things. So,
you know, I went to one of those SEAL show.
I've got all his albums. I love them. It's great.
Baby! So I went to one of these trained SEAL shows, and it occurred to me halfway through that these SEALs, you know, aren't...
They're
just
not trained at all.
Well, they're not really doing it because they want to. They're doing it because there's a whole bunch of fish in it for them. You know, anytime, you know, if they did something, the guy, you know, that was the host, chucked them these fish. So it was like...
Sounds like you've not seen too many animal shows in your life.
Oh, they just sound... You know, they just seem like a whole bunch of surly teenagers that, you know, you got to bribe them to do anything, you know.
Would you prefer if they got all the fish after the show?
Well, maybe up front. You know, I think that if their SEAL had any kind of decent agent, they would insist on the fish up front.
Maybe those SEAL should get in touch with SEAL's agent.
Was that what you can't explain, that fish can't talk?
I can't explain why Mr. Fish thought our show was great. But then I've got another apology to make now. So we've given out a thank you. Here's an apology call out. I have to make an apology to a Reddit user by the name of Fiddich Livet.
Right, okay.
I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I think there's a cream for that, if you...
Give it a googs. tweeted. Anyway, that dear listener said that he doesn't laugh out loud often, but he listened to one of our samples, which I punch around on Twitter and on Reddit. And he said he just had gallbladder surgery. Hard to get out, harder than a gallbladder. And it rather hurt when he listened to our QWERTY, our QWERTY sample. So if you're out there, Fittage Delivered, if you went on to listen to the podcast, you just got a shout out.
Oh, great.
Things we can't explain. What's all that about, Kerwin?
Yeah.
I can't explain how, as a community, as a society, we allowed movie theatres to run 30 minutes of advertisements before our movie starts. How did that happen?
30 minutes? Jeez. Okay. That's a long time. We don't. It was more like 15 here, but, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
When I say ads, I mean, we're talking about, you know, advertisements plus trailers.
Well, they do.
Half an hour after the show time.
Yeah, well.
In South London.
It's like 15, 20 minutes, and they do this thing now where it's ad, then preview, then ad, then preview, you know.
Yeah, they're mixing them up a little bit here. A little bit here, yeah.
Right, so why is it half an hour? That's too long. That's outrageous.
Yeah, but how did it get out to half an hour, right? Because presumably, back in like 1932, when they said a movie was going to show at 9 p.m., the movie showed at 9 p.m.
Right. Well, I think we're going to break a scandal wide open here. You've heard it first on What's All That About. I think it's the same thing as a half-hourly show on a commercial network used to go for like 26 minutes, but now it's 21 and a half minutes. You know? Yeah. So they've managed to cut down the entertainment by 5 or so minutes, you know.
Do you actually have proof that that was the case?
I do. I do have proof. I don't have it on me.
Right, so you're saying if we looked at the average runtime of, say, the Big Bang Theory episode...
21 and a half
compared
minutes.
Compared to the average runtime of, I don't know, Laverne and Shirley or something like that?
Yeah, I would say so. Are we going to put this to the test?
I think we are.
I think we have to. I think we're balls deep now.
That's right, dear listener. It's time for your favourite segment on What's All That About? Kerwin and Kelso, go do a Google.
Google shit, yeah. Let me just call this segment Google shit.
Did you hear the last episode where they did a Google shit?
Is this going to be another one of those Google shits again?
I kind of like their show until they started Google shitting.
But I think you'll find that I'm right, you know, because new shows, okay. They're really short. I mean, it's such, like...
I'm just wondering if maybe it never hit us until we got into... streaming or, you know, Netflix, where or you can download a whole show.
Yeah, it was when it just, you know, even before that, when you'd buy the DVD.
And maybe that's
DVD.
The first time you went, what, this show actually goes for 22 minutes?
Yeah, that's right. That's when I start, when I buy a DVD of the whole show and I'd watch it and go, gee, that episode's quick, you know. And then if this show was made in the 1980s, I'd be laughing at an extra 5 minutes of 30 Rock every episode. You know, I just feel like ripped off.
And that would be worth it.
Yeah,
that
that's NBC. Yeah. So how's the Googling? Were you waiting for me to Google?
I thought you were Googling.
I thought you were Googling. I went, gee, this Google shit segment's really blowing it.
Oh.
This is starting to go for 21 and a half minutes.
I thought you were going to start by looking up...
Well, what should I type? You know, because you're the wordsmith. So, like, average runtime of TV shows.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Okay, let's twin Google. Should we play some like elevator music in the background while we're typing?
Yeah, I don't want to ask the editor to do that.
Oh, I could throw something in. Maybe a flugelhorn, a flugelhorn version of "Girl from Ipanema" would be.
Yeah. No, I'm getting lots of information about Ricky Gervais's second series, Extras.
Right.
Second BBC series, I should say. Development, production, running time. Here we go.
I mean, obviously, I mean commercial networks only. I don't mean any kind of thing that's from a cable.
Mm.
Yeah, it's only network.
I did find a segment on the wiki article for television program under running time.
Me too.
But it's saying 30-minute time slots typically run for 18 to 21 minutes, but there's nothing there about historical.
Look, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but I'm starting to think that our first segment of Google shit is not getting off to a very good start.
Oh, shit. I don't want to have to call Google. They're going to be really upset.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take their Bing offer.
Have you ever used Bing? I used it once just to see what happens. It's the same thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the Pepsi of search engines. You only use it if you have to. You know what I mean? When you got to replace, you know, that only sells Pepsi. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Great.
Do you have Coke? No, we have Pepsi. So you don't have Coke.
Actually, every now and again, I'll go to a bar or something and say, yeah, can I have a glass of cola? Just to try and sound cool.
Of what, sorry? Cola.
That's exactly what people do. What? Cola, what? Yeah.
I like it.
I thought I was trying to be cool, you know. But, just a word to the wise, dear listener, doesn't work.
do not do that.
So maybe you're just going to have to accept on this first ever episode of or segment of Google shit that, you know, you're just going to have to believe me.
It was shit.
Believe
me. And we Google things. It was shit.
It was shit. But, hey, look, I think we got to the bottom of it, didn't we? I think. You just have to believe me. Believe me that it has happened.
All right, last thing. How long is a Laverne?
Laverne and Shirley.
Episode.
We're gonna make it after all.
I've never actually seen an episode.
It's just basically Happy Days without the Fonz. although occasionally the Fonz actually was on, so yeah.
Oh, come on, this must be a real detailed stat that most people don't want to know.
Yeah
so Gerwin, let's get back to things we can't explain. What's all that about?
We're putting Google shit to bed probably forever. That's something I can't explain if you want to talk about it, but, you know,
I'm tucking Google shit to bed, going straight into the bathroom, washing my hands twice.
Turning the light switch off and on 12 times.
Do not go in there. Well, here's something interesting. Recently, I tried to watch, you know, Robert Rodriguez, I think that's his name. He's like a
the Mexican friend of Quentin Tarantino, I believe.
Yes, indeed.
I hope that's not offensive.
A friend of Quentin Tarantino. And I think he maybe directed From Dusk Till Dawn, but
he did,
Tarantino
was involved with that. I think he produced it or wrote it or something like that.
Anyway, so then I was like, oh, that's interesting. I watched From Dusk Till Dawn. I remember I watched it in the cinema way back in the day and loved it. Especially.
Hey, I think we watched it together, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we probably did.
Yeah.
But I loved the love of change up of genres, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I had recorded Desperado on my DVR because I remember it being a film everyone talking about back in the day. Tried to watch Desperado, quit after 45 minutes. It was just too much.
Now, did you watch the Antonio? Oh, sorry, I've jumped in. I've ruined it, haven't I?
No.
No, okay.
That's why I watched that film. And then I recorded Once Upon a Time in New Mexico. I think that's his other film with Banderas as the same character.
Right, yeah.
It was worse.
It was
terrible.
Worse. Okay, see, now...
I watched... Recorded and watched Machete.
Machete Kills.
Oh, it's and then Machete Kills, and they were just unbelievable.
Right. See, now I got to pull you up here, Kelso. I know you're a smart guy, but you know, when it comes to movie history, you got a few holes. You made a fatal error in the Robert Rodriguez Desperado. You have to watch the original Desperado. He made one before, like, that was a remake he did for Hollywood. He actually made one before that in Spanish, and it's very, very good. It's like one of those remakes that Hollywood does where there's a few examples of this where, like, a European director will redo the movie for the Hollywood audience and maybe the money men sort of
come in and say, hey, no, you have to have a happy ending. He has to get the girl at the end, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole premise behind that Episodes TV series. Have you seen it?
With Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Right, okay. No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I don't know why I haven't. Maybe I'll put it on my list. But,
it's worth watching.
Yeah, so that Desperado movie, watch it, and hopefully in between this podcast and the next one, you can get back to me and tell me, damn right. Yeah.
Yeah. You give me some homework.
I have, yeah.
But I can't recommend Machete and Machete Kills. Machete is much better than Machete Kills, but they're still both worth watching. Hilarious.
Right, yeah, they're very good. They call it, there's a word for it, isn't there? That kind of...
schlock?
Schlock, that's a good word, I love that word, schlock. Where the movie is kind of so bad it's good. In production values that, you know, usually cheap production values, but just every now and again, like a really terrible movie would just hit the right mark. And
maybe we should write a movie ourselves, starring the titular character, S.C.H. Lock.
Schlock. Yeah.
Detective. Detective. Yes.
You should actually just say one of my favourite words, titular. I think that's a fantastic word. I mean, not just because you get to say tit and, you know, you can't get in trouble for it. But titular. there's a sketch from this old American comedy show I liked where this weirdo would go into a video store and tell the guy that works there that he was in that movie. He goes, yeah, you know I was in Star Wars? And he's like, you were...
Oh, yeah, this rings a bell.
And he says, you know, I had the titular line in Star Wars. It's like, right. Yeah. He goes, yeah, like, I said, oh, you know, these Star Wars are just getting me down.
I can understand that. Those Star Wars would get me down, too.
But every now and again in an actual movie, you get someone saying the titular line. You know, that must be like a real, you know, for an actor, a real moment, you know, a real thing to, you know, put on the CV.
I think you can search on YouTube for supercuts of all that type of stuff.
I think the best example of a titular line was said by one of the dwarves in the recent Hobbit movies when they were standing atop a mountain and he looked at the big dragon and he said, it's the desolation of Smaug. Yeah, I think if I was an actor, I think I don't care about money. I don't care about billing. I don't care about...
you just want titular opportunities.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Even if I just have that one line, you know. I would love to, you know, go back in time and be on the set of with James Cameron making... Leonardo DiCaprio making Titanic. And I just sort of walk into shot and say, it's Titanic! You know, something like that, you know.
And how would you deliver your line in Avatar? You think?
Nice avatar. Something like that. You know, you don't want to complicate it too much. You know, just simple, you know, effective, straight to the point. Very, very, so very, very titular. I like to, I've got to keep it titular.
Now, the guys at the Blank Slate podcast talk about movies all the time, and quite often the word titular comes up. And they always crack me up laughing because they think that titular is the name of some... pornographic vampire movie. And every time they mention the word titular, they have to make it clear that they're not talking about the pornographic vampire movie. They're talking about actually the word titular.
Every time they say the word titular, big pipe organ chord plays dissonant.
<That's> right. And the funny thing is, it like happens on every second show. And the great delight that both those guys take in the going, oh, here we go, we're going to have a bit of a titular chat.
Yeah, well, I think it's clear even just now that neither of us are ever going to get sick of the word titular. I'll never stop using it. In fact, any time I see an opportunity in conversation to bring it up, I do. And most people look at you like, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Okay. You know, so I give him the whole titular routine.
There's that pervert Kerwin talking about titular again.
You know he's just saying that because he gets to say the word tit without getting in trouble.
I told you not to invite him to this dinner party. Kerwin. what's all that about?
Yeah.
What can you not explain? I almost couldn't explain what the topic was.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things I can't explain. But I'll just think of something that happened to me today that really had me scratching my head. Maybe this is just an exclusively Australian phenomenon, but I've noticed these days that young girls that work at, work behind the counter of a shop, refer to me as love and darling. You know what I mean?
Right.
I thought that, maybe I'm wrong. I always thought that referring to a guy as love or darling was something like exclusively the domain of the elderly or the older lady, you know, the grey haired lady, you know, would refer to you as darling, love, you know, how you going, pet?
Or at least you yourself should be age 60 before people start referring to you as that.
Yeah, and that sort of fond way that people talk, that, you know, condescending way that people refer to, you know, talk to old people. But I almost pulled her up on it, and I don't do that very often.
You're not a puller-upper.
No, and actually it's a, this is something that's been ongoing, actually, but it just happened today. I go, there's a place that I play at, and right next door is a Japanese burger place that I like to go and eat in one of my breaks.
Japanese burgers.
Yeah, and she must be like 19, you know, and she goes, "Hi, darling, here you go, love," you know, and I'm like, I don't know. It just seems a bit weird. Why would someone young call someone old, darling? You know, it's really off-putting.
Not your style.
No, it kind of, it's like she's channeling her grandma or something like that. Or maybe she was raised by a grandma and thinks that that's how you refer to people. But it kind of had me like, I couldn't make my order, the first few times that, when it started bugging me, she got into my head.
did you make a couple of excuses and have to, my phone, hang on, be right back.
It's off-putting.
So instead of getting a Japanese burger, you went next door and got a Singapore sandwich.
Oh, it sounds delicious. I wonder what's on a Singapore sandwich. Probably.
It'd be delicious.
Yeah, it would be. It would be an infusion of cultures in between two slices of bread.
Mm. But very strict.
Yeah. But do people in where you live refer to you as, you know, those kinds of things? Like pet names, you know, for strangers? That's something that only old ladies can get away with.
Yeah, actually, I was recently in the charity shop for a long time. I was looking through all their DVDs. And the lady behind the counter, who looked, must have been 65, was calling everyone darling from left, right, and centre.
So. Yeah, and that's acceptable. That I have no problem with that. You know, but when you're sort of looking at a girl who's clearly just out of school, refers to you as darling. It's kind of
what
like
about
that.
The day one of them refers to you as pops? Or granddad.
Or sir, yeah. I don't know. I think I prefer that. That kind of is that's probably more suitable for me, you know, even right now, than calling me darling. You know.
That's right out.
And you know, if you knew me, you'd know that I'm nobody's darling. Yeah. You know.
Far from it.
So, you know,
now,
pardon me, you go ahead.
One thing I can't understand is movie and television reviews. Okay, so I've only been doing it the last like 2 years or so.
I thought you were saying you've been doing reviews.
No. I've only been like reading and watching TV and television reviews over the last 2 years or so.
Right. Like, as in for recommendations, or is that what you...
No, actually the reverse. So normally I'll watch something and go, okay, I wonder what the critical reception of that was. I find that quite interesting.
Oh, really? Oh, no. That's like having sex with a girl and afterwards saying, did you come? it's too late.
You're not supposed to say that?
If you have to ask, then you don't know what's happening, you know.
That's true. That's so true.
So that's why,
just before I have sex with the girl, I say, let's have a lot of fun, no questions asked.
Yeah. So, look, one of us is probably going to walk out here very unsatisfied. But, hey, look, you know, you've got to roll with the punches.
You've got a 50-50 chance. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, I'm talking about when you read a review... And 75% of the review is just explaining the plot of the episode of on the television or the movie.
Right.
What's all that about?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, like it's kind of like, you know, back for our younger dear listener who may not remember video stores or DVD stores. The back of the DVD case used to pretty much describe the first 45 minutes of the movie. And I find that, yeah, you're right, movie reviews, because I'm a real devotee of the Internet Movie Database, and I said it the full thing, because every time I say IMDb, I say IMBD, and that's not the same thing.
Does that lead to a lot of social bullying?
For me, yeah, it does. Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. Yeah, you know, this is one of my no-go zones.
I do apologise.
But yeah, so... Right,
welcome back. We just had a big break, dear listener. Right. We sorted out a few issues. You were looking at reviews on IMDb.
Well, because I use it as a... Like, you're saying you do it post-movie. I do it pre-movie. And maybe it's... I probably shouldn't, because we're just talking about some random guy that's written a review. He may not know what he's talking about, you know. But I generally think if someone's written a review in nice... paragraphs and their grammar is good, I think, well, yeah, well, I guess I could, you know, believe this guy. And I say random guy because, you know, you're talking to Kelso, you know, not only are your friend of many years, I am an IMDb movie reviewer.
Oh, you're accredited.
I am. Well, I mean, I'm not like...
Have you got a lanyard?
No, I'm not part of the establishment.
Have you got a lanyard?
No, I don't. I don't have a lanyard. What's a, I don't. They wouldn't. I asked, but they wouldn't give me one.
All right. Okay. All right. That says a lot.
Yeah. They. I didn't have anything. They gave me a shoelace with a badge attached to it. That's all I can get.
Yeah.
So no lanyard. There was no carabiner. That
sounds like a poor man's IMDb.
Maybe it was IMBD.
Are you sure it wasn't being run by Nigerians? Did you get scammed?
No, well, okay, so this is one of the things I do, because I have heaps of spare time on my hands. I will find a movie that's not in, you know, in the theatres. You know, there's lots of movies that come out that don't go to the movies, but are very good.
Especially in Australia.
Yeah, so I find these things. I won't say how, but let's just say I come across these movies. And then I'll look on IMDb and notice there's no review. So I think, well, this is a golden opportunity for someone like me that has nothing else to do.
Now, I'm sorry, have you seen or not seen the film?
Okay, so I see that it's ready, that you can download it. You know, it's there. You know, if you want it.
Oh right. Okay.
So I think, well, do I really want to download this thing and watch 5 minutes of it and realize it's crap? You know, so what I do is I go to IMDb and I look
no reviews.
So I think, here we go. This is my now. You know, the
I've got a 2-hour window.
The student becomes the teacher. You know.
Are you stressing out the whole time you're watching the movie that someone else is writing a review at that very moment?
I am. Like, I have done that. I have done that. I felt that one review, I was taking too long, and I felt that someone was going to, you know, get in before me.
Gazump you.
But I have to say that I have taken a bit of time off from my review life. I've just noticed that, I don't know, look, I like to think, I keep my reviews tight. I keep it max 3 paragraphs, but I like to hover around 2. And
how do you sign it off? What's your username? Ace Kerwin?
I can't remember. No. I know what I use.
Dr. Films.
Actually, you know what? I can't remember. I should probably check that out. I don't pay attention. I'm all about the reviews, baby. I'm not, you know, I don't care about the, you know.
So is it one of those websites you can see responses or ratings on your review?
Oh, yeah, people like my reviews. But but what's put me off, like, I was really, feeling like this could be a real new avenue for me.
But I realised, you know,
but
we live
then.
In, yeah, we, yeah, but then, you know, dun, 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 we live in a very big world, don't we, Kelso? We live in a big world.
We do.
There's like 7 billion people now, you know, so when you think, you know, you do the maths. There's going to be at least...
I will. That's easy. 14 billion eyeballs.
Yeah.
It's done. There's the math.
You just times that by two. That's, you know, so impressive. But anyway, so I've worked out that there's at least, if I had to guess, I would say there's between 50 to 100,000 people around the world like me, you know, that have nothing better to do than write a review for movies that for B-grade movies, you know. But I've noticed that the last maybe 5, 6, 7 times that I wrote a review, and I was the first in there, that Johnny Come Lately, you know, comes in with you know, like a big 6-paragraph review and like spoiler alerts everywhere, and he clearly didn't, you know, pick up on the narrative. You know, writing, you know, it was all flash and balls and you know, no substance.
Was he trying to be contrary?
No, he was just, you know, he was appealing to the masses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I try to keep it classy, you know. I like to tantalize the prospective viewer, you know. Like, just say, I went on a journey, and I want to give you the opportunity to go on the same journey. That's what I try to do in my reviews. One of my more recent reviews that I wrote for the TV, the Netflix, or I think it was Netflix, but the new Anne of Green Gables. Yeah, this is the kind of quality.
Hey, I remember watching that a long time ago. I loved it.
Yeah, well, that was the 80s one. Yeah, I actually did make mention of the 80s one. Yeah, no, I
hands off.
Implored the prospective viewer not to, you know, compare and contrast with the 80s version. That's just unfair. it's a reimagining of the new Anne of Green Gables, and I said as much in my review, but some guy comes right over the top of me, like, 3 days later, with a review, and it, like, I don't know how or what, maybe he knows someone that works there, but suddenly my review gets, like, dumped, because, you know, if you go to the site, the review with most likes, I guess, is the one that's there, you know, and you can click on to see all user reviews, and there's usually, you know, it can be hundreds of them if it's like a blockbuster. But, you know, I like to pride myself on being, I did at one point, of having the review that was front and center. And,
nice.
Like, for the last 6 or 7 things I've written, for the first few days, I'm getting lots of traction, lots of great feedback, you know. And then suddenly...
People are really looking up for old Kerwin.
Yeah, exactly. Then suddenly some, you know, Harvard-educated, you know, guy sort of, you know, reviewed...
His sweater draped over his shoulders.
Yeah, and no mention of the original text or the 80s Anne of Green Gables. You know, I just kind of felt a bit jaded, you know. I felt like I put a lot of work in... And yeah, look, the users of IMDb can be very fickle, as I found out. And yeah,
you had your time in the sun, mate.
Yeah,
just enjoy it.
Yeah. Now people ask me, what do you think of this movie? I say, why don't you bloody watch it? Make your own mind up. You know, it's
well,
a weird guy.
Well, steady on, Dr. Movies. I didn't want to upset you.
Look, it's a period in my life that, you know, I don't like to talk about, even though I just have for the last 10 minutes, but...
Do you think you've developed a arch enemy on IMDb?
There's no single one, but I don't know.
Or maybe it's, well, I don't know, maybe it's some sort of evil organisation.
Yeah, you know what it is? That's probably what it is. That just occurred to me, you know.
So are you sure you've never disparaged a show somewhere along the line and then gained an arch enemy?
No, I haven't, you know. Like, I can't really put my finger on why there's been the movement
away from
my reviews.
Stop, Kerwin.
Okay, what?
I'm going to ask you flat out.
Okay.
All right. One.
Yes.
Did you ever openly diss a Star Wars movie or television show?
I would never do that, and you know that.
Two, did you ever openly diss a Star Trek movie or television show?
Oh, there hasn't been one in a while, besides the brand new one that's out right now. Yeah, no, I haven't, no.
And three, most importantly, did you ever diss any of the following franchises?
Mm-hmm.
Fast and the Furious.
No.
Transformers, Mission Impossible.
Wanted to, but no.
All right, okay, we're in the clear. You do not have an arch enemy.
I don't have an arch enemy. I just think, just like in my my movie review life, as in my real life, everyone is out to get me.
Everyone's a possibility.
It's true.
So where do you stand on Rotten Tomatoes?
No, I don't like it.
What, do you hate stats? What's wrong with you? You hate stats?
I don't like stats. I don't like Rotten Tomatoes. You know, I'm barely a fan of...
figures?
I'm barely a fan of fresh
stats. I know you hate stats, but how do you feel about facts and figures?
Facts I like. And figures. Well, when you put it like that, yes, I do like stats, facts and figures, yes. I don't like the layout of the site. It feels like I've wandered into a shop that, you know, I don't know what's going on. And do I push this? So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't like it, you know.
Well, actually, I very rarely visit the site itself, but I tend to use Wikipedia for movies, and I always got the critical reception section,
yeah,
which has the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Right. Yeah, I don't put much validity in that. I've seen some movies that I really, really like getting very low scores.
Yes. The thing, you have to take it with a pinch of salt as a Rotten Tomato, you know, like cooking tip. Take it with a pinch of salt is because what could happen is if every single reviewer gave a movie 6 out of 10, that movie would have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
So you have to keep that in mind.
Oh, so hang on, sorry. Well, you're going to have to explain that again. That literally hurt my brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we could look it up somewhere.
So you're saying that if everyone gave the same rating, that it would be 100%?
Yeah. I could be wrong. Don't tweet in if I have got this wrong.
Because I thought you said it's all about facts and figures. That sounds like someone's diddling the figures to me.
No, it's just a particular figure. Right, because that's why there is the field of statistics. It's not ever just one figure.
So
Rotten Tomato reports, let's say you've got 10 approved reviewers, which is how Rotten Tomato works. They say, okay, you're an approved reviewer. If you've got 10 of those guys and 6 say it's better than 5 out of 10, that's 60%. If everyone says it's better than 5 out of 10, that's 100% movie, right? Because there's not much nuance. It's either what percentage of our critics gave it a positive review.
Right.
So it could be 100% of people giving it a 6 out of 10 positive review, or it could be something different.
So you're telling me that if I see a Rotten Tomatoes review that says 100%, that could mean that 100% of people thought it was just okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that's why I don't go there. Even more reason, you know. Something is rotten, yeah, in Denmark.
I do use it to a certain degree, but then this is a great example, right, I've been meaning to bring up.
Hey, so, you know, forget Rotten Tomatoes. Just go to IMDb. There's a great reviewer there that I think you'll I think you'll resonate with.
Let me look him up. Favorites, add to favorites. I wanted to bring up... one of our favourite movies that you and I both adore is So I Married an Axe Murderer. Rotten Tomatoes, 55%.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's outrageous.
Get out of town!
It's outrageous, you know.
But when it comes to... I don't have Netflix or Amazon Prime or those fancy things. We've just got the free digital television in England. But, there's lots of films going through. So if you get the right... app on your phone, you can check out all the films coming up, and I definitely use Rotten Tomatoes to decide. I've heard of that film, let me just double check if it's not, you know, absolutely horrible. I'll give it a watch, but No. Well, I did watch Batman vs. Superman recently. I thought it was quite good. I thought it was fine.
Okay.
They're like 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Because I watched the actual Superman. I mean, not the, you know, the, like, there's a real life one. I thought it was terrible.
Christopher Reeve or...
No, the new guy. The new guy.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, Man of Steel, right. So they're not saying the word Superman.
if they can help it.
But don't you think out of all the superhero costumes, that's the hardest one to sort of bring up to date? You know how, like, Batman and all that and Spider-Man, their suits kind of look, oh, yeah, I can see one, someone wearing that today. But the Superman one, like, what's with the cape? You know, well, I mean, because I think personally, if I was a superhero, I mean, maybe if I did a lot of my superheroing here in the hot weather, I'd probably, at the most, wear jeans and a t-shirt, probably shorts. And comfortable shoes. I mean, I don't mind showing my, like, knees down. You never see a superhero that's, like, has exposed legs. You know, unless it's a girl or something like that.
They expose a whole bunch of other parts, but yeah. What's your favourite superhero costume?
My favourite superhero costume? Ooh, that's a tough one. Well, I mean, the one that springs to mind, this is a bit of a... You could say Iron Man, you know, because his costume is the best. Because...
I'm behind that.
Yeah, I guess. But like, if I had to like appeal to my like horny male side, the new Wonder Woman's costume was pretty good. Didn't mind that. Yeah, not too bad.
It is amazing what Marvel had done to take like someone like Iron Man, who was a comic book hero I might have heard of once before. Have you heard of Iron Man before his movie was made?
Oh, yeah, like, very, like, echoes of it. Yeah, well I'd never read an Iron Man comic or... I had no idea that there was all those characters all lived in a shared universe until this...
No. You know. Yeah, I think I had a very, you know, dim memory that perhaps there is some superhero knocking about called Iron Man.
Yeah, but to make him the centre of this new...
Oh, yeah, to come and use him and kickstart this, shared universe. It was like, it's been an absolute masterwork, master's class. And while I've enjoyed the DC films, I haven't seen Suicide Squad, but I've enjoyed the rest. It's like night and day, isn't it, between the two of them?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know why, you know, you've got Superman and Batman in your stables. Surely... You've got some good stuff to work with there. The Christian Bale Batman movies were pretty good, you know, with Michael Caine as the butler, you know.
I just saw Batman Begins for the first time yesterday, and I thought it was a bit clunky.
Clunky?
I really did. Yeah, I know.
Well, I look forward to reading your review on IMDb. Your title is going to be, okay, a little clunky. That would be
No, but I was not watching movies when they were released.
Well, do you know what you should do, Kelso? We should totally tweet Christopher Nolan and tell him that we thought that Batman Begins was a little clunky, and see if we get any response. Maybe he'll start. Maybe he'll subscribe to our podcast. That'd be a good get, wouldn't it? That'd be a big fish. A big fish to reel in Christopher Nolan, you know.
But, I think compared to the Iron Man movie, I think that might be my favourite superhero movie.
Yeah.
If not that, then Civil War would be my favourite. Wonder Woman's right up there too, though. I love a good origin story, I must admit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I do like that.
A lot of the podcasts I listen to, so they're tired and they're bored of origin movies. But I think that's the fault of Spider-Man, because we had two Spider-Man origin movies back-to-back. And then maybe also the Batman origin stories were a bit close together.
Yeah. I love
an origin movie.
Yeah, me well.
I've never read a Wonder Woman comic, but I'm aware of her character, blah, blah, blah. Well, and when I watched the film in the cinemas, to see that character come to life, it really affected me. Almost came to tears.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. And a Wonder Woman.
Right. So are you aware of the three different movie, the two different movie houses that make Marvel films?
Oh, well, now you're really complicating things. Now you've just thrown a handful of cornflour into the soup.
Right.
Look, so if anyone knows how to cook cornflour, yeah, it's going to be... I was going to say gluggy, but I'll paraphrase you. I was going to say clunky. That'll make a really
clunky
soup.
Oh, it's going to get gluggy.
Yeah, so you say two movie houses. So you're saying there's like... there's a separation almost between the Marvel movie makers.
Oh yeah, so right. So not much of this will be correct, but the comic book fan out there will allow me to summarise or editorialise. But in the late 90s, Marvel Comics was about to go under, and Marvel Comics was responsible for the Avengers and X-Men and Spider-Man. Okay.
Right. Okay.
But they were going broke, and they were literally selling some of the furnishings in their offices to keep their heads above water. And they got to the point where they actually sold the film rights in the 1990s away to other companies. So that's why today Spider-Man is owned by Sony, right? So Marvel Studios, which is now owned by Disney, do not have film rights. They still make the comics, but they can't make any film involving Spider-Man without the approval of Sony Studios. Mm. And the same goes for the X-Men universe.
So is that why Spider-Man's only been more of a recent addition to the Marvel...
Exactly.
Okay. I'm learning.
They sold Spider-Man to Sony, and I think they sort of kind of half-sold Hulk to Universal sometime.
Well, now Spider-Man knows how George Michael felt, right? Am I right?
He's totally upset. That careless whisper.
He wants out of his contract. I get it. Yeah.
And around about the same time, Marvel sold all the rights to their X-Men. So we're talking Wolverine, Professor X, Magneto, that whole set, to 21st Century Fox. So ever since the advent of the superhero movie overdose, if you like to call it that, we've had all the Spider-Man movies that have come from Sony until the most recent Spider-Man movie, which I'll return to. Marvel have done the MCU, so that's Marvel Studios, so it's a little bit different. So you've got Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Captain America, all the Avenger movies, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy,
the TV, like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
Some of them, but not all of them. But let's concentrate movies for the time being.
Okay.
And then the other house producing Marvel movies, so they still have the Marvel logo at the start, but they're not from Marvel Studios itself. From 21st Century Fox, and they're all the mutant movies. So we're talking Wolverine, First Class, X-Men, Logan, Deadpool, anything that's to do with mutants, they sold that all to 21st Century Fox.
Right.
So there's three movie houses producing Marvel films, and just recently, because Sony didn't have a lot of luck with their Spider-Man franchises, they had a bit of luck with the first two original Tobey Maguire franchises, but then when they released The Amazing Spider-Man with big hair, good looking dude,
Andrew Garfield.
Thank you. It didn't go so well. So then after that, they struck a deal back with Marvel Studios and said, listen, we'll still own all the rights and we'll distribute the film, but we'll allow you to include Spider-Man into your MCU in some of your films, and you'll produce all of our now Spider-Man films, but be released through Sony. So that's why Spider-Man Homecoming was actually a complete film written and produced by Marvel Studios inside the MCU, but distributed through Sony. So it's a bit of a partnership going on there.
Wow. Well, this is all well and good, Kelso, but who's making the next American Pie movie?
I'm glad you asked.
Who's doing that? You know,
I believe
Sony.
There's a GoFundMe. where you can send in like $5 or a warm apple pie.
Yeah. So that should be our personal challenge, Kel. So if we can write another American Pie movie, how would we, you know, like how could we get blood out of the stone there? I think, you know. Well, you've got all the ingredients. So Jason Biggs has to do something embarrassing while he's masturbating at the start. We can come up with that. We've got plenty of our own material.
No, I'll do it if we can count out every poop, pee, and masturbation joke.
Well, that's not going to work.
Oh, no, I'm out.
Man, talk about tying my hands, you know.
That didn't last long. Now, tying your hands. Let's work with that. Let's workshop that. Tying your hands.
Yeah.
What have we got?
Okay.
I think it had more like setting Harry Potter in Australia.
Oh, no. No, I remember Daniel Radcliffe, who is, you know, Harry Potter.
I do remember that.
You remember him? Yeah. he's trying to, like, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the career of Daniel Radcliffe. I wouldn't blame you if you haven't.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, yeah, I have too. I've noticed that he's really trying with all of his might to step away from Harry Potter and be an actor, you know, by taking on some sort of fruity roles here and there. Well, have you seen the movie Swiss Army Man? Have you heard of this movie?
I've heard of it, but not seen it.
Yeah, well, so he plays a corpse.
I've heard all about it, and it looks really interesting, but...
You can read about it in one of my IMDb reviews. I don't want to create a shitstorm, you know.
That's the last thing anyone would want to create.
We've already got a shitstorm happening on our YouTube channel. Did you notice that some people had an argument on one of our YouTube uploads of our podcast? Did you notice that?
What?
Yeah, there's an argument happening.
Now, when are you talking about an argument? Was it a random comment I made on a Mr. Sunday Movies video?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that you're roaming the YouTube.
I'm the social media manager.
You are.
I'm trying to draw up some buzz.
Yeah, dear listener, if you've ever had a reply from anything that you've ever done,
it's me just going, "Hey, are you listening to our show yet?"
Like, I read our Twitter comments in between masturbation sessions.
It's my turn this week, by the way, so don't forget that. Oh, yeah, so is the argument you're talking about, like, as a result... It wasn't a result of my comment, it was just on... I commented on a whole bunch of comments, and someone else had
maybe,
an argument.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't take much to spark a YouTube argument, you know. Sometimes, I made a comment once on a YouTube video, and it was a funny comment, and what followed was a... I would say 20 reply jag on, you know, it's funny, the YouTube argument, it starts with name calling, and then it goes to your political leanings, and then it ends with some kind of sexual encounter with your mother.
I believe the word cuckold has to be used.
You got to be, you got to be a cuck. Yeah, you're totally.
Or a snowflake.
Yeah, you're a Hillary Clinton cuck. Oh, I want to be clarified. What is a cuck? Like, I think I know what it means.
Well, cuck is short for cuckold, so it's normally like a man who has lost control of his wife either through her decisions. Or for someone else's decisions. So,
right. And correct me if I'm wrong here, the word itself comes from some kind of bird. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm assuming from the cuckoo.
Right.
Cuckoo. So a cuckoo lays its eggs in another bird's nest and relies on the other bird to, you know, incubate and then bring it up. So I guess that's where the cuckold comes from. So your family unit, if you like, is being intruded upon by another who takes advantage. So it's either the man has no idea whatsoever and the woman is doing it, or some other, like, significant power So let's say like a lord of your estate when you're a peasant back in the feudal days would just come in and like make off with your wife or have his way with his wife every time he visited your manor instead of collecting the rent. Or indeed, collecting the rent and then having his way with your wife. Quite annoying.
How do you reckon we would have gone in those times? You know,
I would have been paying the rent double.
I often wonder, like, if we grew up in, like, feudal England or something like that, what kind of... would we still be doing this podcast?
Probably not.
Well, a version of it. Maybe we'd go down to the local tavern and talk loudly in the corner. If people wanted to listen, they could. If they didn't, they could just walk, you know, a few metres away from us. But
I guess, like, 30 or 40 years ago, we'd be, like, two guys standing up on a soapbox in the local park going, all right, gather round. Welcome back.
I think I'd make a great blue blood back in those days. I think I would have made a terrible peasant, you know. I would have made a very good peasant. Yeah. I'd be complaining a lot, going, oh, man, this whole place,
I would have died of disease really early.
Yeah, I'd be like, has anyone got a fingernail brush? A lot of mud underneath my fingernails. Yeah, I probably would have learned, because I probably would have played the lute back then. I wouldn't have played guitar, I would have played the lute. Probably would have, like, hit up a few local, you know, drinking establishments, play a few songs, maybe bang a few of the local ladies, and then sleep in a barn somewhere, I guess.
So do you mean bang some of the local ladies instead of a bongo? Not bring the bongo.
Now, that would be, I think, back then, that would be a great gimmick back then, you know, that my instrument...
Women as bongos.
Well, I'd be playing the lute, and probably you would be playing a lady's posterior as bongos.
That would be cool. We could, like, make some sort of a box where just their posterior was exposed.
Yeah.
Be a great crowd draw.
I think we could call it the bumgos.
Couldn't use that word back then, mate.
Well, I don't know. I'd play the bum goes.
Goes is fine, but bum's right out.
I kind of do. I actually have this really weird ritual where just before I get in the shower, I'm naked. You know, it was the day I was born.
Okay,
well, I know it sounds like this is going to go off the rails.
Let me take a shot of whiskey.
You know how people like, you're about to do something technical and you do that. I hope this comes across in an audio medium, but you kind of do this thing. I just like, you go, all right, you know, you sort of like you're centering yourself. You know what I mean? I have this weird thing where sometimes just before I get in the shower, I with both hands slap my bum cheeks as I get in the shower. Like, all right, this is it. Let's just get clean.
It's like Mum used to do.
Yeah, in and out. You know, let's just do. A thorough
in and out.
I don't like to spend too long in the shower. Unless I'm hungover, then I'm in there all day. But I just like to do a quick wash. You know, just do the basics. You know, do the hits. I'll do the hits and then just get out of there. You know what I mean? I'm not hanging around for a 3-hour concert. You know.
Have you ever had a shower, like at a friend's house when you were holidaying there or holidaying together?
Yeah.
And had a shower of your normal length. And then came out of the shower and someone said to you, "Wow, that was quick."
Yeah.
What's
all that about? You know what? Even just anyone that monitors how long you're in the toilet or the shower, you know. By what standard are you judging me? You know.
By their standard, it's quite simple.
Well, okay. So I'm in the shower for what, like 5 minutes? Is that standard, right? There's nothing odd about that. 5 minutes for a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
5 minutes. I mean, actually, anything longer than that, it's kind of like, you know, your eyebrows start getting raised, you know. I think if someone said, someone was at my house, you know, an acquaintance or a friend, and said, "Do you mind if I take a shower?" And they were in there for any longer than 5 minutes, I'd be thinking, masturbation. Oh, no.
Well, hang on. You've got to add on disrobing and drying time and getting dressed time. So 8 minutes. Looking at 8 minutes.
8 minutes. Okay. Well, I'm kind of like, you know, the time when I hear the shower, when I hear the water running. You know,
I think to myself, you're standing outside listening.
I've got loud pipes.
Are they going through my medicine cabinet?
Yeah, that's exactly that. You know that everyone goes through your medicine cabinet.
That's why I've been selling a line of fake medicine cabinets.
All right, nice.
One last thing on things we can't explain before we take a break. Okay. Kerwin, one last thing on things we can't explain. I've had it up to here.
Where are you pointing? Yes. Like, where are you? Like, here?
Well,
give me an idea. Like, whereabouts in your body?
Theatre of the mind.
Theatre of the mind. Okay, so...
Quite high.
Like, like past the chin, or...
Oh, past the lips, maybe. Past the lips.
Okay, all right. So you're not, like, above head height. Like, you know when people say, I've had it up here,
no,
and they go...
No, I'm close. I'm getting pretty damn close.
Okay, all right.
Barbers who show you the back of your head with a mirror at the end of a haircut. I'm done with that. I don't want any more.
Why not?
What's the point?
Well... Because some people, it's been a while since I've been to a hairdresser, but some people don't do a very good job.
Do you inspect the back of your head?
Yes. Yes. Oh. Yes, I'm that vain. Yeah.
Have I been making a mistake?
Well, yeah, no, I, maybe this is why I was a hit with the ladies, is that when I do my hair, I'd get a smaller mirror in my hand and then stand in the bathroom and look into it, and then can see the back of my hair, you know? Because I don't want people, like, I walk past and think, oh, man, that guy was a lot better coming than going.
Do you think a lot of porn stars say that about the other porn stars? That guy was a lot better coming than going.
That would make a great tagline in a porno.
I guess it would work the other way around, too. You'd say, well, that guy's a lot better going than he was coming.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, Kerwin, I've just looked at my watch.
Yes?
What? Right. It's time for cover from another mother.
I thought you were going to say the battery'd stopped or something.
It has, but it stopped exactly on... time for cover from another mother. So explain to the dear listener, what does that mean?
It means that, dear listener, if you feel like that you want to hear a song that I twist and mangle, fold, spindle and mutilate into my own little version, then all you need do is contact us. Make a suggestion and I will transform it into a thing of beauty.
Well, I could have said it better. Oh, maybe a little. But,
yeah, I did do a very good job.
Yeah, tweet us at podcast KAK with your request. And we have opened up the Gmail gates.
Have we got a Gmail?
We've got Gmail. So podcast KAK, podcast Kerwin and Kelso, podcast KAK at gmail.com. Send us a message and see what happens.
Absolutely.
Perhaps you could get your mother covered by another... Hang on.
Yeah.
Let's do that again.
Yeah, that sounds like a YouTube comment. I'd cover your mother with you know what.
Listen, I've been thinking, we've been talking about all sorts of subjects today.
We have covered a great range of topics tonight, haven't we? That's
suitable for a cover from another mother. We were talking a little earlier about Laleen, but then I thought, why not? Let's save that for another episode.
Right.
Because we also did mention a film, Desperado. I believe, if the song's not connected, right, because the song's from the Eagles?
It is, yeah, I don't think there's any connection, I'm pretty sure.
No doubt predates the Desperado movies, but Desperado, that's the film we were talking about. That's a song we all, dear listener, and Kelso of the podcast, would love to hear as though it was a cover from another mother.
I will do that, yes. Desperado by the Eagles, or as they're now known, Don Henley. All right, here we go. That's just ambience. Ha. Ha. Mob. There it is. That's not enough ambience. Let me just...
Ha.
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 All right, here we go.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one. I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you will hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy, to beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best friend. Now it seems to me some fine things are laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking you through this world all alone. Don't you think it cold in the winter time? Sun won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the night time from the day. And you're losing all your highs and lows. And funny how the feeling goes away. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses and come down from your fences and open the gate? It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you. Let somebody love you. Let somebody love you before it's too late. Well,
now, I must say, by no stretch do I have a six-shooter or am wanted in four states, but during that song, I felt like I was, like, getting cold up on the high plains.
Oh, nice. I'm glad that I could paint that picture.
That really spoke to me. The other thing that spoke to me is when I was about 19 to 22, I was teaching myself to draw, and I did have a bad experience once where I did try to draw the Queen of Diamonds. It did not go well. Well, but that is all very well, Cohen. But that does leave our listener with one question.
Indeed it does, Kelso.
What's all that about?
Brilliant. Oh, we'll chat to you next week. And don't forget, you can tweet us with any of your thoughts at podcastkak, and also don't forget you can now email us at podcastkak@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank you very much for listening. It's a real treat to be coming in your ear holes. We do ask you to tell a friend about us, as that's how we hope to grow the show. Or if you have time, perhaps on your favorite podcatcher, you could go and give us a sweet review. 4 or 5 stars, nothing less.
I'll give that last joke 5 stars. Till next time.
Hello.
See you later.